Today is Sunday, December 7th, 2008. In the ordinary form, it's the second Sunday of Advent. In the extraordinary form, second Sunday of Advent. Sit back, relax, and enjoy Crystals Ventured Anywhere, episode number 151. Take 152.
From the Disciples with Microphones Podcast Network.
And from the Crystals Ventured Network.
It's Advent again, and the priest says Mass with his back turned on us. And more on the 2009 Music Issues, here on Crystals Vintage Anywhere, right now! It's time for Crystals Vintage Anywhere, that half three quarters of an hour of liturgy, music, and fun! And now, a man who loves Advent, here's Brian Michael Page. Hello and welcome, Mago Sum Briani, Smikalis Pagina. Welcome to our 151st episode of Crystals Vintage Anywhere. Yes, we're getting back into Advent again, and the cycle has rotated into a new year. We are now in year B in the Sunday lectionary, and we're in year one in the weekday or ferial lectionary. The Sunday lectionary is in a three-year cycle, while the ferial lectionary is in a two-year cycle. The ferial lectionary is more involved in the proper of saints, where the feasts of the saints fall on fixed dates no matter what. Those dates have a fixed set of readings no matter what year you're in. You know, just like Holy Week, Easter, Christmas, certain holy days in the Sunday lectionary. Only the readings for the weekdays, or feriae, that have no feast, rotate by year. But now back to Advent. Now, while many people will prepare for the Lord's coming by singing Christmas music or blaring that crap on the radio stations that they call holiday favorites and push and shove each other in the stores and in traffic, especially on Black Friday, when I just sit back and laugh at all the comic action thereof, we as Catholics are aware that the Lord hasn't come yet, nor has Santa Claus, but that's a tale of a different horse. Even on Thanksgiving Day, the parades you see on TV seem to reflect more of a Christmas theme than a Thanksgiving theme. Our liturgical song for Advent should reflect the forthcoming arrival of our Lord, as opposed to his already being born. That's how we as Catholics prepare for Christmas. After all, do we hear Jesus Christ is risen today, or even Here Comes Peter Cottontail on the loudspeakers while taking a drive on Ash Wednesday? Or Septuagesima, for that matter? No. Yet there are a number of radio stations who started with this non-stop holiday favorites bullshit since All Saints Day, let alone during Advent. So here is a sampling of the songs I like to sing between now and December 24th, the Vigil of Christmas, in preparation for the birth of our Lord.
Veni, veni, Emmanuel, captivum salve Israel, qui gemit in exilio, privatus Dei filio. Gaude, gaude, Emmanuel, nascetur pro te Israel.
By the way, the harmony you heard on that Gaude, Gaude part of this hymn intrigued my mother when I was showing her some of the work that I do here on Crystals Vintage Anywhere. Yeah, we had her over our place on Thanksgiving Day. But anyways, being able to do such harmonies like that by myself, of course, is one of the benefits of using a great free open source multi-track recording program like Audacity. She was even more intrigued on how Seamus could sing in harmony while I was playing for her this lovely chorus from our last episode.
Grill it, boil it, you will enjoy it. Try some, buy some, have it today.
On some other news, thanks to some really good coverage from Father John Zultstorff, alias Father Z, in his blog, What Does the Prayer Really Say? I recently learned that Bishop Edward Slattery of the Tulsa, Oklahoma Diocese is celebrating the 10 a.m. Mass Ad Orientem in his cathedral during the seasons of Advent and Christmas. Ad Orientem, of course, is the Latin phrase meaning to the east. So when a celebrant is facing the east, that is the liturgical east, not necessarily the compass point east, as obviously not all churches are built pointing eastward. This is the direction that most people mistakenly refer to as the priest's turning his back on the people. In all actuality, the priest isn't turning his back on the people, but just facing the same direction as the people, that is, towards the Lord, thus the liturgical east. I'm going to quote a couple of paragraphs in the news bulletin that was released in the Cathedral of the Holy Family in Tulsa, Oklahoma. In the past 40 years since the priests and people turned to face one another over the altar, the negative effects of this practice have gradually become clearer. First of all, it puts an undue emphasis on the personality of the priest, since the celebrant is unavoidably a point of reference for the celebration. We look at him, listen to him, and understand that our participation at Mass as being involved in what he is doing. With such a dynamic, it is natural for the congregation to expect the celebrant to be creative and spontaneous, even though creativity and spontaneity are inimical to the proper celebration of a received Catholic liturgy. Second, when the priest is turned to the congregation, he and they form a self-enclosed circle. The parish no longer looks in the same direction as the priest, so that everyone faces the future. Instead, the celebrant and the people are closed in upon themselves. This is why Catholics today tend to understand their baptismal calling only in terms of ministering to one another, and not in terms of evangelizing society. But now there is a significant and growing enthusiasm in the church to restore the venerable custom. Pope Benedict himself has urged us to draw upon the ancient liturgical practice of the church to foster a deeper and more authentic Catholic worship. Christos Vincit Anywhere sends big-time kudos to Bishop Slattery for taking the initiative of restoring Ad Orientem worship. And hopefully this will eventually turn to all the masses at the cathedral year-round, as well as in all the churches of the Diocese of Tulsa and of the world. On today's show, we continue to review the 2009 music issue published by OCP, starting with hymn number 456. But first, let's say hello to those jungle screechers. 30 days, half September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, except for February alone and what did Skip it. Thank you, jungle screechers. Let's take a look at our liturgical calendar for December 2008. We are in a new weekday cycle. We're in a new Sunday cycle as well. Here we go. Here's our proper of the saints and everything for that month. December 2nd, we start off in the extraordinary form, third class, St. Viviana. December 3rd, St. Francis Xavier in the ordinary form, a memorial. And in the extraordinary form, third class. 4th of December, in the ordinary form, St. John of Damasus. And that is an optional memorial. And in the extraordinary form that same day, St. Peter Chrysoglos, which is a third class. And you can also add a commemoration prayers to St. Barbara on that same day. On the 5th of December, in the extraordinary form, St. Sabas, and that is a commemoration. December 6th, St. Nicholas, ordinary form, optional memorial, extraordinary form, third class. The 7th, second Sunday of Advent. Oh, by the way, in the extraordinary form, all Sundays of Advent are of the first class. December 8th, Immaculate Conception, falls on a Monday, and it is a holy day of obligation, as that is the patroness of the United States of America. In the ordinary form, solemnity, in the extraordinary form, first class. December 9th, in the ordinary form, St. Juan Diego, and that's an optional memorial. On the 10th, commemoration in the extraordinary form of St. Melachiades. And the 11th, St. Damasus the First, in the ordinary form, an optional memorial, in the extraordinary form, third class. On December 12th, in the ordinary form, a feast, Our Lady of Guadalupe. And she is the patroness of the Americas, as opposed to the Immaculate Conception, who's the patroness of the United States. The 13th, St. Lucy, in the ordinary form, a memorial, in the extraordinary form, third class. The 14th, third Sunday of Advent, Gaudete Sunday. On the 15th, in the extraordinary form, the octave of the Immaculate Conception. Yes, in the traditional calendar, Immaculate Conception does have an octave. On the 16th, in the extraordinary form, St. Eusebius, and that's in the third class. And then there's no other feast there until the 23rd. Now the 23rd, in the ordinary form, St. John of Canty, also known as St. John Cantius, and that is an optional memorial. The 21st, fourth Sunday of Advent. The 24th, of course, in the evening. There are no morning feasts on that day, but in the evening, the Vigil of Christmas, which, of course, is a solemnity in the ordinary form, first class in the extraordinary form. Christmas, of course, on the 25th, the birth of our Lord, Holy Day of Obligation. And the same thing, solemnity in the ordinary form, first class in the extraordinary form. On the 26th, St. Stephen, the first martyr, feast in the ordinary form, second class in the extraordinary form. On the 27th, St. John the Evangelist, in the ordinary form, a feast, in the extraordinary form, second class. On the 28th, which is a Sunday, in the ordinary form, the Holy Family, which is a feast, and in the extraordinary form, a Sunday within the octave of Christmas, which is of the second class. On the 29th, St. Thomas Becket, in the ordinary form, an optional memorial, and in the extraordinary form, a commemoration. And then finally, on the 31st of December, the last day of the year, in the morning, St. Sylvester the First, which is an optional memorial, and the extraordinary form that's celebrated as a commemoration. And then in the evening, in the ordinary form, the anticipated Mass for Mary, Mother of God. For great stories on these and other great feasts and saints, don't forget to check out the New Advent website, www.newadvent.org.
Speedy delivery, speedy delivery. It's the Crystal Sphinx Anywhere suggestion box.
Well, let's open up our suggestion box for the third Sunday of Advent, Sunday coming up. Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete, of course, meaning rejoice. It is the first Latin word of our introit for the day. And because it's a time of rejoicing, instead of violet vestments, the priest will wear rose-colored vestments on this day. Also, the organ may be used a little more majestically as well. Let's look at our introit for Gaudete Sunday. And like I said, the first word is Gaudete, and there it is. Gaudete in Domino Semper, iterum dico Gaudete. Modestia vestra nota sit omnibus omnibus, Dominus prope est. Nihil solicitis sitis, sed in omni oratione petitionis vestre, in otescan apud Deum. Psalmus. Benedixisti Domine terram tuam, avetisti captivitatem Jacob. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your forbearance be known to all mankind. The Lord is near. Be not anxious over anything, but in all manner of prayer, make your petitions known to God. Psalm. Lord, you have blessed your land. You have released Jacob from captivity. The antiphon here comes from the fourth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, while the psalm verse comes from Psalm 85 or Psalm 84 in the Vulgate. You want something exciting for your choir or even your congregation? Try my own Rejoice in the Lord Always. I'll leave a link to the melody and text version of the antiphon. If you like what you see and you want a score edition, drop me an email. Other two songs that I particularly like that matches somewhat. Rejoice, the Lord is King, especially that fourth verse, Rejoice in Glorious Hope, the Lord our God shall come. And also, let's not forget, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, or the Veni, Veni, Emmanuel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee, O Israel. Now, the intervening chants, if you're using an lectionary option, the responsorial psalm, very simple, my soul rejoices in my God. And this one does not come from an actual psalm. This is from the Magnificat, the song that Mary sang in praise of God. The gelinotone and antiphon from Worship 2 and Worship 3 work out very fine. Also, check out the fine settings at the Chabanel Psalm Project. Six composers have settings available free of charge for this feast. These composers are Jeff Ostrowski, who of course originated the project, Gregory Evans, Richard Rice, Arlene Ust-Zimmer, Sam Schmidt, and yours truly. All of these settings contain the official lectionary text. None of these are paraphrases. We leave a link to the Year B Psalms for the Chabanel Project in today's show notes. The Alleluia verse from the lectionary, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. Now as for a matching hymn, or perhaps an extra communion piece, The Spirit of God by Lucian Dice would be a very good choice as well. Now for those using the intervening chants from the Graduale Romanum, we'll start with the gradual. Fuit homo missus a Deo, cui nomen Ioannes. Hic venit, ut testimonium perhiberit de lumine, et patare domino plebem perfectam. There was a man sent forth from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness to the light, to prepare an upright people for the Lord. The Alleluia verse, Excita Domine potentiam tuam, et veni ut salvos facias nos. Rouse your power, O Lord, and come to save us. And that comes from Psalm 80 or from the Vulgate 79. Now, about 4 years ago, I wrote a hymn based on Psalm 80 called Hear Us, O Shepherd, Lord of Israel. I had set my own text to a tune from the 16th century Genevan Psalter called Old 124th. It's a tune often associated with a reconciliation hymn, Turn Back, O Man, Forswear Thy Foolish Ways. Same deal as my setting of the introit. I'll leave a link to the melody and text version in the show notes. If you want a full accompaniment with the descant, which I also wrote, drop me an email. Offertory. Benedixisti Domine Terram Tuam, Avetisti Captivitatem Jacob, Remisisti Iniquitatem Plebis Tue. O Lord, you have blessed your land. You have put an end to Jacob's captivity. You have forgotten the guilt of your people. And that comes from Psalm 85 or 84 in the Vulgate. And okay, yeah, another shameless plug. This time a hymn text from an unknown source. Lord, you have greatly blessed your land. Set to a tune of my own, adapted slightly from the Benedixisti chant in the Graduale. Oh, I guess I'll leave a link to that one as well. Finally, the communion. Dicite, pusillanimes confortamini, et nolite timere, ecce Deus noster veniet, et salvabit nos. Say, take courage, you faint of heart, and fear not. Behold, our God will come, and he will save us. And this comes from the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Don't forget to check out the Cantica Nova website for all the great music suggestions, hymns, anthems, motets, organ music, all for the third Sunday of Advent. We'll leave a link to that in the show notes. We'll be back. Don't do this at church. Last thing someone wants to hear at the offertory. And now it's time for the continuation of the reviewing of the contents of the 2009 music issue by OCP. We took a break on it on our last show in favor of our cent and a half tennial party. And today we begin, or should I say resume, with the Holy Spirit section of this book. Hymn number 456. And what's hymn number 456? Spirit of God Within Me, set to a tune by Scott Soper. And this is, by far, one of Mr. Soper's better tunes, if not his best. 457, Spirit of God by Christopher Walker, thumbs down. 458, Come Down, O Love Divine, using the Ralph Vaughan Williams tune, Down Ampney, thumbs up. 459, Come Holy Ghost. Ah, the real Come Holy Ghost. Stick with this one. You'll never go wrong. 460, Come Holy Spirit by Stephen Dean. Refrain melody seems okay. I'd have to look at the melody of the verses to really judge it better. 461, The Spirit is a-movin'. The Spirit is a-movin'. My stomach is a-turnin' by just the thought of this insipid song. 462, Send Us Your Spirit by Dan Shudi. Melody is okay at best. And now we got 463 to 472, that entire string of 10 songs right there. Drop them completely, okay? Matter of fact, 471 to 472 begin the comfort section. And unfortunately, much of this section consists of melodies that claim to comfort. Melodies that would comfort better from a soft rock radio station than they would at Holy Mass, I'm afraid. Special note, number 472, Come to Me by the Monks of Weston Priory. When it first appeared in hymnals, it only had one verse. Now it suddenly has five. 473, Like a Child Rests, a Psalm 131 based piece by Christopher Walker, and this is one of his better responsories. 474, There is a Balm in Gilead, one of my favorite yet rarely used spirituals. 475 to 477, drop all three. 478, Bob Hurd's Shelter Me, O God, isn't too bad, although I'd hire a better accompaniment writer. 479, a very fine hymn, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, set to the tune Kingsfold. 480 and 481 are two pitiful attempts at Psalm 23, Because the Lord is my shepherd, and Shepherd Me, O God. And then 482 is a weak attempt at Psalm 27. 483, however, is a very good Psalm 23-based hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. 484 is simply titled Psalm 23. It's by Tom Connery. The setting on this one, the verses are so irregular that Metamucil might just have a cure for them. 485, The Living God, My Shepherd Is, a.k.a. Brother James's Heir. On the other hand, the very good Psalm 23-based hymn. Our Hope is in the Lord. This is number 486 by Dan Shudi. Not too bad. 487, which closes out the comfort section, and 488 to 491, which begins the peace section, can go far, far away, and I won't miss them. Bye-bye. 492, Prayer of St. Francis, the only Sebastian Temple tune that I've ever seen that actually gets a thumbs up from me. The arrangement of this hymn as sung at Westminster Abbey at Princess Diana's funeral restored my liking to it. 493, Pieces Flowing Like a River, a must go. It just must go. Bye-bye. I had to endure this at my own confirmation. It's just plain, plain awful. 494, Let There Be Peace on Earth. Can we put this one to sleep like an ailing, aging dog, please? And is another question. Since when did Let There Be Peace on Earth become a Christmas carol? Those stations that I rant about playing so-called holiday favorites have added this song to Seth's collection. That collection, of course, which is enough to make me heave that delicious gingerbread cookie I just ate. 495, Dona Nobis Pacem by Gregory Norbert. Well, that one can go as well. Now, the discipleship section. Women of the Church by Carrie Landry. Is this supposed to be some kind of social justice gimmick or something? What next, a song about poncho ladies? Wait, we already have one of them.
Poncho ladies, poncho ladies, poncho ladies, poncho ladies. Ew!
497, we have been chosen. About as self-praising as they come. Hey, that reminds me of that scenario on the movie Toy Story, where an alien gets grabbed by the claw. You know, the prize machine there and that little thing that drops down to pick up the prize, the claw. And then the alien says, I have been chosen. Goodbye, dear friends. Goodbye, bad song. 498 to 500 can also go bye-bye. 501, out of darkness. Musically, Christopher Walker's best. 502, Those Called by Christ, uses the tune Detroit. It's an early American tune that's often used with the hymn Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive. And a text, well-written text, by the Benedictine Harry Hagen. This one's a definite keeper. And then we have 503, Anthem, another self-praising song. We are called, we are chosen, we are sower, we are seed, we are question, we are creed, we are this, we are that. Oh, God, help me, please. 504, All That Is Hidden. Can this song be hidden from our hymnals, please? 505, Lord, You Have Come to the Seashore. This one I really don't mind. 506 and 507, Now We Remain and We Have Been Told. Two of David Haas's greatest hits, both of which needs to hit the road. The former is mainly about us, while the latter has a sappy love song feel to it. 508, Only This I Want, a Dan Shooty tune that actually has some sense of devotion to it. I'll actually say let's keep it. Now let's go to the faith section. Number 509. My Wild Irish Rose. Oh, I mean Dwelling Place. Hear the comparison here. I fall on my knees, my wild Irish rose. 510 to 513 are keepers. And the first time today that I actually ran into four keepers in a row. They are as follows. As the Deer Longs, as set to the tune O Wally Wally. Faith of Our Fathers, of course. There Is One Lord by Owen Allstott. And the venerable O Lord, I Am Not Worthy. Now a little story on O Lord, I Am Not Worthy. A known composer whose works are found not only in the music issue, but in Gather and even in We Celebrate, once asked me via the NPM users message boards that I once frequented until a couple of years ago, why would you sing, O Lord, I Am Not Worthy, in a post-conciliar church? I simply answered, the same reason we still proclaim it to this day, just before we receive communion. And, of course, I signed my post after that. Domine non sum dignus ut interessum tectum meum, sed tantum dic verbo et sanabitur anima mea. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but say the word, and my soul shall be healed. 514, Center of My Life, that one should go. Sounds too much like backing music to a soap opera. 515, Hold Me in Life, nice piece. Although I liked it even better in its original key, F. 516, We Walk by Faith, lovely text that I have often used, especially as a closing hymn on Divine Mercy Sunday. The Hagen tune here is actually far better than anything else he's written. 517 to 519 can go bye-bye. 520, We Walk by Faith / In Times of Trouble. This, by the way, is Barbara Bridges' absolute best work, a solid text set to a combination of two chant tunes, Jesu Dulcis Memoria and Ave Mari Stella. 521, We Remember, Send It Bye-Bye. 522, Radiant Light Divine, a short trilingual ditty that begins our light section. That can go. 523, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light, is okay. 524 to 528 can go bye-bye. 529, Christ Be Our Light, is okay. 530, The Light of Christ, can go. On our next episode, we'll continue with hymn number 531, which begins the Jesus Christ section of the music issue. And now let's welcome our musical guest, Daryl Smith. And there you have Daryl Smith giving us O Come Emmanuel. Hey, after all, somebody's got to kick off Advent with a good Advent classic, right? Daryl Smith comes courtesy of PodSafeMusic.podshow.com, and you can check out his website at DarylSmithMusic.com. We'll leave that link in the show notes for you. I have in my left hand today's Crystals Vintage Anywhere Top 10 list.
Top 10.
Brought to you by We Believers Mask Kit for Little Boys. Well, as you probably know, just because it's Advent doesn't mean someone out there is not going to utilize liturgical abuses to the fullest. If it can happen in ordinary time, confirmation, first communions, funerals, weddings, Lent, and other occasions within a church year, it can sure happen during Advent. So today, from the home office in Ware's Beach, New Hampshire, where my family and I went and enjoyed ourselves after Thanksgiving, we have the top 10 things I do not want to see or hear at an Advent Mass. Here we go. Number 10, candles on the Advent wreath lit by blowtorch. Number 9, note attached to the donation in the offertory basket that says, "Here's your early Christmas gift." Number 8, offertory donation placed in a Christmas card that plays "Santa Claus is Coming to Town" the minute you open it. Number 7, bell ringers with little red cans. Well, at the supermarket it's okay, but at church? Hell no. Number 6, a homily that includes the winners of the big raffle at the Holiday Bazaar. Seriously, the winner was not me, so who gives a rat's behind? Number 5, the piano being played just for the sake of eliminating the organ. Number 4, liturgical dances with Advent wreaths on their heads. Number 3, "Come, O Lord, and Set Us Free" by the Damians. Number 2, "A Voice Cries Out in the Wilderness" by Michael Jonkus. And the number 1 thing I do not want to see or hear at an Advent Mass soon and very soon. Christus Vincit.
Ready, music, and fun. That's us. X3, read all about it. News at the door from the Swan Snark.
Okay, folks, we're going to make cheeseheads out of you, and no, I don't mean Green Bay Packers fans either. Today's featured product number 1. Do your kitties like tater tots? Do they like cheese? Here's the best of both worlds put together in one great package. Cheesy Quick Taters Potato Rounds. Tater tots filled with mozzarella and cheddar cheeses in a 2-pound resealable bag. Just $8.49. Today's featured product number 2. How about them hash browns? Hash browns like you've never had them before. Yes, it's the cheesy hash brown casserole. Hash browns blended in cream of mushroom soup, cheddar, Colby, and jack cheeses. Hash browns may never be the same again. A 2-pound tray for just $8.99. Finally, today's featured product number 3. You can top off your ice cream or make a delicious smoothie with our new berry smoothie fruit blend. 4 5-ounce packages of diced strawberries and blueberries, just $6.99. At Schwann's, we're prepared to serve. Scenes from a rehearsal.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your kindness be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be not anxious over anything, but in all ways of prayer, make your petitions known to God.
Our good friend Nick on the RPI Net message board posted something I'd like to share with you. It's the Bible in the eyes of a child. Children's Bible in a nutshell. In the beginning, which occurred near the start, there was nothing but God, darkness, and some gas. The Bible says, "The Lord thy God is one." But I think he must be a lot older than that. Anyway, God said, "Give me a light." And someone did. And then God made the world. He split the atom and made Eve. Adam and Eve were naked, but they weren't embarrassed because mirrors hadn't been invented yet. Adam and Eve disobeyed God by eating one bad apple. So they were driven from the Garden of Eden. Not sure what they were driven in, though, because they didn't have cars. Adam and Eve had a son, Cain, who hated his brother as long as he was able. Pretty soon, all of the early people died off, except for Methuselah, who lived to be like a million or something. One of the next important people was Noah, who was a good guy, but one of his kids was kind of a ham. Noah built a large boat and put his family and some animals in it. He asked some other people to join him, but they said they would have to take a rain check. After Noah came Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was more famous than his brother Esau, because Esau sold Jacob his birthmark in exchange for some pot roast. Jacob had a son named Joseph, who wore a really loud sports coat. Another important Bible guy is Moses, whose real name was Charlton Heston. Moses led the Israelites, that's two words by the way, Israelites, out of Egypt and away from the evil Pharaoh after God sent 10 plagues on Pharaoh's people. These plagues included frogs, mice, lice, bowels, and no cable. God fed the Israelites every day with manicotti. He then gave him his top 10 commandments. These included, don't lie, cheat, smoke, dance, or covet your neighbor's stuff. Oh yeah, I just thought of one more. Humor thy father and thy mother. One of Moses' best helpers was Joshua, who was the first Bible guy to use spies. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and the fence fell over on the town. After Joshua came David. He got to be king by killing a giant with a slingshot. He had a son named Solomon, who had about 300 wives and 500 porcupines. My teacher says he was wise, but that doesn't sound very wise to me. After Solomon, there were a bunch of major league prophets. One of these was Jonah, who was swallowed by a big whale and then barfed up on the shore. Then there was also some minor league prophets, but I guess we don't have to worry about them. After the Old Testament came the New Testament. Jesus is the star of the New. He was born in Bethlehem in a barn. I wish I had been born in a barn too, because my mom is always saying to me, close the door, were you born in a barn? It would be nice to say, as a matter of fact, I was. During his life, Jesus had many arguments with sinners like the Pharisees and the Republicans. Jesus also had 12 apostles. The worst one was Judas Asparagus. Judas was so evil that they named a terrible vegetable after him. Jesus was a great man. He healed many lepers and even preached to some Germans on the Mount. But the Republicans and all those guys put Jesus on trial before Pontius the Pilate. Pilate didn't stick up for Jesus. By the way, that's Pilate, as in the guy that flies a plane. Pilate didn't stick up for Jesus. He just washed his hands instead. Anyways, Jesus died for our sins and then came back to life again. He went up to heaven, but he'll be back at the end of the aluminum. His return is foretold in the book of Revelation. There it is. The Bible in the eyes of a child. If you're ever in the Boston area, check out the prominent St. Mary Star of the Sea Church on Cabot Street in Beverly, Massachusetts. They have an excellent music program going there, including a mass that's predominantly Gregorian. Mind you, all their masses are in the ordinary form, but let me read off the program for the 4 p.m. Saturday anticipated mass for the second Sunday of Advent. This is really a good idea of what Pope Paul VI intended when he wrote what is now the ordinary form of Holy Mass. The introit, the offertory, and communion were the chants for the day straight from the Graduale Romanum. The Kyrie was from the Missa Emmanuel, an a cappella mass, which Richard Prue put together, adapting the mass text to the music of Veni, Veni, Emmanuel, which many know in English as O Come, Emmanuel. The Psalm 85 setting was that used in Worship 3, the last overall decent hymnal published by GIA. The ordinary of the Mass during the Liturgy of the Eucharist was from the Jubilate Deo collection of Mass chants. The added communion responsory was Veni, Veni, Emmanuel, in Latin, with the refrain written out for the congregation. Finally, the recessional hymn was the triumphant Lift Up Your Heads, You Mighty Gates, sung to the tune Truro. And I'm going to leave a link to St. Mary's Star of the Sea in today's show notes. This is an excellent, excellent music program. Keep up the good work. Don't forget to get that vote in at Podcast Alley. You can find that and many other fun activities in the Crystal's Vintage Interactive Corner. We also have a message board you can leave feedback on. I also welcome any and all listeners and fans to join the latest Facebook craze, Fans of Crystals Vintage Anywhere, with over 60 fans. Just log on to crystalsvintage.com and you'll find all of these fun activities absolutely free. I want to thank you for joining me today. Join us again next time as we continue our series on the Music Issues Issues. I'm Brian Michael Page. Peace. Percussa Kielbasa, the official deli meat of Crystal's Midget Anywhere. Crystal's Midget Anywhere is a member of Disciples with Microphones, the B-Team, Ratzinger's Rottweilers, and the Crystal's Midget Network. This broadcast is copyright 2008, Brian Michael Page. Made on a crappy PC.